That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome. We'll get this button pushed right here. To Coffee with the Wranglers. We welcome you here this Saturday morning. Can you believe time just marches by? It just continues on. Saturday morning, September 7th, 2019. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so glad you could be here with us. And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us this beautiful day. Just, you know, another 10 days of summer left is all we have. And, of course, I want to remind you, too, got a 91st day coming up in about 10 days. That'll take us out of summer and into fall. But, John, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll, you know, this coffee program, who knows where we'll go from there.
Well, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we want to praise you, Lord, and confess our love and devotion to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you for the price that you paid so many years ago just to save a wretch like us. And Father, we ask that this morning you would guide and direct our thoughts, give us wisdom and understanding, discernment of what it is that's important to your people, the remnant. Father, we know that there's much to pray for, Lord, to pray for and to pray against, and we just ask for your direction regarding that this morning. We know that your word says that when two or more are gathered in your name, then you're there also, and Father, we claim that promise right now, and we ask that you would bring your myriads of angels and that this would be pleasing to them, Lord, that there are those that set aside times to just to talk about the things of the world and how they affect the, not the Christians, but the followers of Jesus Christ, the Jedi, Jesus' disciples. So we trust, Lord, that, that you will take the helm and that you would take the lead regarding everything that's discussed here this morning. Father, we thank you that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers. And Father, you know that we've made an appeal to heaven, Lord, for grace and mercy and compassion upon this country, the true JARUSALEM, Father, that you would remove the scales from the eyes and unstop the ears of those that can come to repentance. Father, that they would hear and see the truth, and that they would fall upon their face, and that they would cry out and ask for forgiveness before it's too late. Lord, we continue to pray for grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Thank you for continuing to reveal and expose those wicked, evil, demonic things that have been done in the dark, and for bringing them to the light, Lord. And we continue to pray that they would be shouted from the rooftops. But, Lord, we see that in great abundance. But what we don't see is justice, Lord. We're not seeing those that have perpetrated these wicked, evil acts being reprimanded or being judged, Father. So we just pray for your judgment regarding this, Lord. I pray that there would be righteous judges once again in the land, Father, that they would finally wake up and understand that they're to fear you, the chief judge, more than they are the things of the world. Father, we see that, just as you said in the last days, that men's thoughts would continually become evil, Father, and as we look into the history of what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah, we understand that it was the sin of pride, Lord, the sin, the fact that they no longer hid the sin but flaunted it, Father, and we can see that that is taking place in this country more and more each and every day. Lord, we just ask that you would put it upon your people's hearts, Lord, to understand the dangers of these things when you flaunt the sin, Lord. Help them to understand that we're not to be acceptant and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace. Your grace is for those who try to live a godly life and still fall short. Does not give us free rein to sin willfully. Well, regardless, Father, we pray for your protection, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves and our families and all that you blessed us with, knowing that there's not a greater offensive or defensive weapon. Just bless this day. Bless your people, Lord. Bless them and keep them and make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance to them and grant them peace in the name above all other names, we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Well, Remnant, we do want to remind you, 91st day coming up, the Sabbath between the seasons. September 17th, Tuesday, it'll be from 1 till 1 o'clock on Wednesday. If at all possible, if you can take that as a Sabbath day, we want to remind you, give you plenty of time to plan for that. And if you're not familiar with the 91st days, you can read the 91st days packet at our website, scripturesforamerica.org, or you can give us a call here at the office during the week. We've got a few printed off here. We can mail them to you if that's what we need to do. But we encourage you to do that. It's part of our pastor taught, returning to those ancient paths, restoring, as we've read about in Ezra and Nehemiah, as they came back and they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the wall, and they were these physical rebuildings, these physical things that they were doing, were symbolic of the spiritual return. And when you read through, they were returning not just in what they were doing or what they were in rebuilding the temple and the wall, but in their actions, in their lives as well. And so I think these 91st days are part of that. They're part of a returning, part of a restoration, a returning to Him and His kingdom, and His timing. And so we encourage you to do that. We do. Well, Tim, haven't talked with you for a little bit. Glad you're feeling better. And so it's all right with you. We'll go down to you and see what's on your mind this Saturday morning.
Well, one of the things that struck a chord with me was during John's prayer. He talked about about sinning, you know, even though you're in a state of godly fellowship, and just because you can get away with it. And it just brought to mind something that I was thinking about the other day, and that was John 9:31, where it talks about, he says, "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears him." And, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's a constant state with us. We're in a battle, the battle of the ages. And, we talk about putting the armor on, and we talk about, you know, sin not. But that is one of their attacks against us, is, you know, that verse is about people who are, you know, Jesus' disciples. I mean, it's that condition there that if we're sinners, He doesn't hear us. You know, so if you want your prayers to be effective, then you need to be God-fearing and do His will and remove sin from your life if you want to be heard. And since we know that prayer is a very effective weapon against our enemies, and one of the most important ones we have access to, you know, kind of the cornerstone on what all the other ones are built. Like, there's a whole bunch of little things that go along with that as far as not, you know, don't sin if you want God to hear you and if He wanting to answer you. And, it's important that when we're praying, that the one that He does hear is, Lord, forgive me, you know, for that condition. And I just thought that tied in so nice with that opening prayer. I appreciated that with all that. So that was my first jump in for the morning.
Yeah, excellent verse, Tim. You know, I don't think people realize how many things that people have done to promote their side of this spiritual warfare. I mean, there's things that are going on all over the world to conjure up spirits and create portals and things that I don't think most of our people realize. I mean, we talked about the Arch of Baal, and that's significant whether people realize it or not, especially where they chose to put it, the days that they chose to erect it. And we don't really even know now, because the media is, for the most part, owned by the enemy. There's, you know, those Baal arches are probably set up in certain places that we may not even know of on a permanent basis. But
yes,
tomorrow I hope to talk about a few of those and at least shed some light of reality of these things that are going on in the spiritual realm that are mind-boggling, kind of, when you look at what they're trying to do in their belief systems. And it all falls on false religion, their beliefs in false religion. You know, some of them are just atheists because they're Darwinists, you know, from, 150 years ago. They still believe that if you can't prove it by science, then it doesn't exist. But what they're finding is as they delve into these realms of the unknown are things that they can't explain. And some of them are finding religion, whether it's Christianity or whatever religion it is, just by these things that they're discovering. And but what's dangerous is if you open Pandora's box, you can't put what comes out back in and close it up. And I'm not sure if they realize that or if they do realize that, and that's their end goal. But Lord willing, I hope to talk about some of that stuff in tomorrow's message.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amen. Yeah, we've seen that time and time again where people have gone to, you know, to disprove Christianity or to disprove Jesus, and lo and behold, there's some that they find the way, you know, in that attempt to disprove, and it's a blessing to them when that happens. You know, the masses are not going to repent. The masses are not going to return. But God always has his remnant. You know, when Jesus was talking about straight is the gate and narrow the way, and they asked him, well, then, is it only a few that will be saved? And he basically told them yes. Because the gate is narrow. It's not a big, it's not the broad way that we see. You know, the road named Broadway in New York and the filth that it represents, that's not the way. It's straight and it's narrow. And he says, and few there are that find it. And well, praise God that there are that few. We sure are thankful for that. Yeah, Tim, that John 9:31, I've got to wonder how many sermons are preached on that. You know, just that. God does not hear sinners. And, you know, what a simple truth. I have to think back in those, you know, those Ezra and Nehemiah days when they were reading, they would read the word for a fourth of the day. They would read the law, and the people would hear it and understand it, and they were pierced to the heart, and they would cry out and repent, and then he did hear them. Then he would hear their cries when they repented, and. Oh, that we would learn from our history. And I think that's one of the reasons that it just continues to come out more and more, the importance of this Anglo-Israel message, this message of who the people of the Bible are and who they aren't. Because it applies. It applies to us today, and not just in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense as well. That, yeah, when we confess our sins, well, then there's nothing that comes between us and God. But that unconfessed sin, it prevents, you know, the Bible says, prevents our prayers from being heard. They do. Well, I can tell you, in current events, there were some prayers heard. If you've been following this Hurricane Dorian, and we talked about this last week. This has been one of the longest storms in recorded history, in as far as duration and the area that it's covered. You know, of course, these hurricanes usually form out in the ocean off of Africa, and then roll across and through the Caribbean, and maybe in the Gulf or up the coast or whatever. And when we first saw it, as it was approaching the states, you know, the forecast was it was just going to cut Florida in half. It had gone up to a Category 5, 185 mile an hour plus winds, and the gist of it now is it destroyed the Bahamas. They say the island of Abaco, A-B-A-C-O, Abaco Island, no food, no water, bodies in the water. Saw a quote that the people that were there are trying to get out. Little ships are coming and trying to help them. Said only an animal could live there. And when you see the pictures, it is just everything is leveled. Everything. And then you contrast that once again. We talked about this when that hurricane hit the Keys last year after devastating the Caribbean and just dwindled. And when Dorian is just fixing to hit Florida, and it just makes a right turn and just eases up the coast. Now, certainly, flooding in North Carolina. But nothing like the devastation, nothing like the death that it has brought on the Bahamas. And the forecast now is it's expected to have a significant impact in parts of eastern Canada. Now, when is the last time you heard of a hurricane destroying from the Bahamas up the coastline and still, still a named storm as it's rolling into Canada? And not just easing over. They're talking, no. They're still talking. It might be a level one hurricane or a tropical depression hitting Canada. I just don't remember those type things happening. And we are seeing...
Yeah, what's the first time a hurricane was only traveling at like 1 mile per hour and it stayed and just hammered the Bahamas
right.
for like
yes.
2 days? It must have been like a living hell if you were in that for 2 days.
Yeah. Well, guys, the phones are ringing. We'll pause this and go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, men. I wanted to say something that kind of went along with what you're talking about, where prayer probably turned that hurricane. The other side is doing their thing also, and I don't know if you heard about the boat that burnt out on near Southern California there.
Yes, the dive boat.
Yeah. So, but what I heard the very first day was that the guys, five guys jumped overboard, the crew or whatever, and they were talking on the cell phone to Coast Guard or whoever, and they said that the cabins were locked. Okay, I was suspicious of that right away. And then this morning I looked on the news, and they said, they were talking about it again, and they said 33 people were killed. Now, I kind of think this was a satanic sacrifice, and they're trying to gain power from their father. And the next question is, for what reason? And 911's coming up, so I just wanted to throw that out.
Well, thank you, sir.
That's a good observation.
Yes, absolutely.
Blood sacrifice, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, God bless.
Thank you.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. John, many things with this Hurricane Dorian. The way it acted, I've never, coming from Central Florida, we've sure been through hurricanes before, and family has. And, at first, my family that lives in South Florida, they were headed north. They were trying to get up into the Georgian Carolinas, and then before long, they had turned around and were trying to head back out, back down to home. And because this, it did not act like hurricanes have acted in the past. And it has brought an amount of destruction from the Caribbean up the East Coast. Certainly quite a bit of flooding in North Carolina. When you look at the comparisons of what it's done and what the hurricanes in the past have done, and to me it brings the word that you have used many times in the last year or two, and that's a reprieve. Is that it is a reprieve. It is God saying, look what can happen. Look and see and learn what can happen. But then in his wrath, he has mercy. And the word says he is not slow as we consider slowness, but he's patient. He is patient. And I just pray that the people would have eyes to see this. That it's not just we got to buy or we got lucky or this or that. It's it is a reprieve from our God, another one, to allow His people to repent and return to Him.
Well, it's a form of deliverance too. Deliver us
yes.
from evil.
Yes.
That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And if there's enough people, and I believe there was, not only in Florida but all across the country and maybe even throughout the world, that we're praying for compassion. That's the thing I think we forget sometimes too. We ask for grace and mercy, but I've added compassion to my prayers because that's really what it takes. I mean, are we those kind of beatings? Absolutely we are. But our God, just like you said, he's a God of grace and mercy and compassion for his people. So when he hears his people crying out and asking for grace and mercy, then, you know, he will grant that compassion. And I think that's a critical point. But, you know, how many Absolutely. People were praying for the Bahamas to be saved for grace and mercy and compassion? Well, they might have been praying, but they may not have been praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who actually does control the weather. And when you pray to your false gods, well, good luck with that.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And that's the thing. There, you know, the Bible is true. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah before. You know, when God met Abraham on the way, and Abraham pleaded with God, Lord, if there's only 10, if there's 10 righteous, will you not destroy it? And God said, yeah, if there's 10 righteous, I won't destroy it. Well, there weren't 10 righteous, so he did destroy it. And, you know, are we seeing that being played out today? You know, the destruction of the islands, who knows what goes on down there, but when you look at the end result, that island of, I don't know how you say it, I don't speak Bahamian, but it's Abaco Island. it is just, everything's leveled. It looks like when you go out here to the county dump, you know, we've been cleaning up and dropping stuff off at the dump, and that's what the pictures look like. That's what the pictures look like. And and it doesn't look like that here.
Yeah.
Again, flooding here, no doubt. The danger
with that is if you don't give God the credit for
that's right.
turning that storm away. If you say, oh, we dodged a bullet, you know,
exactly.
we're lucky. You start saying those kind of things, and boy, I tell you what, the next one that's going to come going to be,
that's right.
You know, 5-10-fold the storm that it is. So obviously our
Absolutely.
People know better, but if there's enough fools, which is what they are, if you don't believe in God, that give the credit to Mother Nature or give the credit to luck or the credit to the winds or whatever it is, if you don't give the credit for the deliverance of the nation to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you can expect the next one to be even more vengeful than this one.
That's right. Well, Remnant, again, the phone lines are open. The program you're listening to is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we've got our Bibles, we've got our coffee, and we'd welcome a phone call if you have a comment or a question.
I wanted to talk about the red flag bills that are being implemented all across the country. I think it's important that we understand that this is a reality now, that these laws are being passed, and we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as the doves with regards to our speech. There are those, especially if you're on social media. I don't participate in any of that, but the bottom line is, if you're on social media, there are trolls out there that are baiting people to try to get them to say things, and don't think that they're not recording those things and keeping records of those things to use them against you. Right here in Loveland, Colorado, I remember I heard, I think it was last Monday morning, the headlines were that a young man, I think 15 or something, was expelled from school for going shooting with his mom in the mountains. So first you're outraged, right? It's like, well, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
So apparently the mother signed the kid out from school early to take him up in the mountains and go shooting. But what they don't tell you, at least right away, is the fact that the kid put on social media pictures of all the guns they were taking, AR-15 and all this other stuff, and then pictures of them shooting the guns up in the mountains, and put it all on social media, and
all it took was one kid that goes to the school to see that, bring it to an authority, and boom, done. So, you know, it's time to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. If you're going to participate in social media, you better be real careful at what you do. And you better be real careful at who you allow to be part of your social network. I don't even know how it works, but most people just allow anybody to be part of it. Well, I've got news for you. If you're associated with someone else who's speaking stupidity, then that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to be associated with them. So,
yes.
It's just a warning to be, I mean, because there's been those in our midst that I've seen posts from, as, you know, based on reading a story, and then you see the comments, and those kind of comments anymore, you know, the bottom line is keep your mouth shut and be very cautious of those that you allow to be parts of your network, and don't participate. You know, the days of saying from my cold dead hands are not here anymore, because you might get your wish, and there's no point in taking a stand until it's necessary, and it's not necessary to take a stand right now, at least just to keep your firearm. So
right.
I think we just, I mean, obviously God can protect us, and if you're not, you know, putting on the full armor of God, if you're not praying the blood of Jesus over you and your family and your all that he's blessed you with, things like that, well then, you know, you still may lose this battle. But we just need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Keep our cards close to our vest until the proper time. And that's what I wanted to say.
Amen. Well, and it goes with the Bible principle, John, of not casting your pearls before swine.
Yeah, and that's, you know, exactly what they did.
And that happens. And see, that's a method of the tares. It's what the tares do. See, the tares in the story of the tares and wheat, what do? They all stand up together proud and haughty, and they want to be associated with each other. Oh, yes, we believe this filth also, or we participate in this filth also. That's how the tares are when they're up standing tall, proud, and haughty. That's not to be our way. But as sheep, what happens to the sheep? They go along. And I think those are very wise words of wisdom to stop and think about, what it is that our people are doing on social media, what they're associating with, and not to cast the pearls before swine, because the Bible says that they'll use it to turn you asunder. They'll turn them back on you, twist them and turn them. So it's best to, like you said, keep your mouth shut when it comes to these things.
I think a lot of times that there's different outlets for our underlying principles. You know, I mean, when we see something strike against that, your first response is to reply at or above the level that they're talking about. So if they're talking about, you know, taking everything or destroying people in order to do this or that, you know, that's you tend to come back with, like John said, different monikers that are that. And the truth of the matter is God lays that on our heart to do certain things, but probably the first response you ought to be is you ought to pray about it, you know, and cry out to God. That's the one. Don't cry out to Facebook. cry out to God, because he judges the hearts of men and their intents. And, you know, we have access to that 24/7. And we're all guilty of not doing it. We fly off the handle. Been there, done that. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody about it. But what we should be doing is righteously condemning them in prayer before the Lord, and holding up their wicked intents. And he judges the hearts of men righteously. And penance isn't one of those things. Penance is a Catholic device. I mean, you know, I think so often God's justice is swift and sure, and he's long-suffering that men should perish. But when the hammer comes down, it's it's done, you know. And I think that that should be our motivation, is for God to judge those people according to their thoughts and their minds and the effect that they seek to do. And that's a righteous effect of it. And our words sometimes just, I'm always reminded of Moses. One of the things when he struck the rock for water, and he was supposed to talk to him. You know, he had the power to strike the rock, and the water came out. But God condemned him because that wasn't what he was supposed to do. And you know, we're all like that. We have power. We have authority. But we've got to use it in a way that honors God and in the way God wants us to use it. And sometimes our own human nature gets in the way of that. So,
yeah, sometimes we get caught up in bragging about what we have and how many rounds we have and everything else. And now's the time to just be silent. Because, you know, we can say that these laws are unconstitutional. Well, absolutely they are. But I've got news for you. They're real, and they're getting enacted all across the country. And bottom line is, do you really want to have that fight? And at that point, you have to prove that you're not mentally ill, or that you know not unstable to get them back. So be smarter to not have to face the situation at all than to have to justify why you have what you have.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. Well, I see where San Francisco supposedly just kind of goes along with this, but San Francisco just did something in their chambers there, and they're calling the NRA a domestic terrorist organization. Had you seen?
Yeah, I saw that.
So,
the United Nations working to do that as well.
That's right.
There's all kinds of things going on like that. And God, our God reigns. He sits on the throne. He understands the devices of men. You know, they can run on, but they're not going to get by. So it's like...
Yeah. It was encouraging. I read a story yesterday about several schools in state of Tennessee that, granted, they were Catholic schools, but they've yanked all of the Harry Potter books off the shelves because they believe that the spells and incantations that they use in the books are actual spells and incantations. Huh, you think?
Yeah.
And that reminds me of what we've talked about in the past, that game Dungeons and Dragons, that I believe my oldest brother played that game when he was a child, and my parents being naive, not really understanding. But if I look back at all of those friends of his that played that game with him, none of them are Christians. And they were all brought up in Christian homes, whether, you know, granted it was Judeo-Christian, the Lutheran faith, the majority of them. But there's power in those things. And even if, you know, you watch a movie or you're, God will give you a warning to either shut it off, to mute it, to fast forward it, or at least to pause it and to put on the full armor of God and just boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Satan has no legal ground in your life. So these things, the enemy is getting smarter, you know, like Dad used to say, they're getting smarter. They're starting to put these spells and incantations and things like this in books that if you read them, you're basically speaking them into existence. And we just need to be careful. Fortunately, we as the remnant have been aware of these Harry Potter books and the evil contained within them for years. But I can remember just several years ago going to Disneyland, I think it was, in California, and they got this Harry Potter land. And in that Harry Potter land, they sell all of these, wands, magic wands, you know, and then they set this place up so that you can take these magic wands and these kids, and I mean, they're by the thousands that are buying these things for $50 and on up, you know, and they can use these wands in different displays all through that stupid Harry Potter land and make things happen, you know, so it gives them the appearance of having that magic power to do these things. And
wow.
Fortunately, I brought quite a bit of anointing oil when I went there and was able to anoint a lot of things. But, boy, I tell you what, I spent some serious time in prayer before I even entered into that devil's kingdom.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Pastor taught on that. Those are conduits to demons. Those are doors that can be opened, whether, you know, inadvertently, whether you know what you're doing or not. The door's open, and that's what a lot of those things are. And it, you know, you contrast that with, you know, a couple generations ago, those children were praying in school for God's blessings on themselves and their families and their teachers, and now they're casting spells and trying to access the dark side, whether they know it or not, and those actions have consequences. They do. They absolutely do, and they put that those ungodly thoughts in their mind, and they do. That those are doors that are opened. Those are doors that are opened. That we can pray to close them, but so many people aren't aware of that. And you know, going back, my Bible's still open to that verse. You said, Tim, you know, John 9:31 that. We know, and you know, this whole story there, you know, this is the man that was healed. They've been born blind, that they think, you know, oh, who sinned? That this man is, you know, this man is just a result of sin, that he's been blind all his life. That was what the leaders of the day were saying here in John chapter 9. And, you know, Jesus says, nobody sinned, but it's to glorify God that he's been healed. And then they bring him, you know, they bring him before and ask him what's happened. And, he says, you know, he tells these teachers, these leaders, we know that God does not hear sinners. See, he's teaching them, and they got all mad about it as well, that one, that he was healed, and two, that this commoner is teaching them. That's that pride again, John, that you opened up the prayer with as well. That pride that is so evident and so prevalent in people, not only in the you know, the openly sinners, but in the Judeo-Christians that figure, well, I got it down. I go to church once a week or once a month or whenever, and, you know, that preacher, oh, he makes me feel so good. Oh, and you don't know how many times I've heard that by people. Oh, he makes me feel so good. And it's that pride. It's that pride. They don't want to hear you know, about sin. They don't want to hear that maybe they're eating the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing, doing things that are not pleasing to God when they think that they are. It is certainly a spiritual battle, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the greatest deception is that Satan ever pulled off is getting people to believe that he doesn't exist. And I think this was an interesting point, too, that satanic temple, the head of that, Lucian Greaves, said it would be a conservative estimate to say that more than 50% of our membership is LGBTQ.
Yes, I saw that.
Regarding the Satanic Temple. So, you know, here just a few years ago, they were tied in with the abortion industry, basically that the Satanists were performing rituals within the abortion facilities, basically offering up these children as sacrifices to their god, the god of this world, Satan. And now here we see them admitting, you know, these things that were done in the dark, brought to the light, shouted from the rooftops. More than 50% of their membership, by their own admittance, is LGBTQ, whatever, ABCD, you know,
sure.
They add another letter every other month, but the gay, lesbian, transgender, queer, they got that part right. I think they should just stick with the queer part, but anyways, it's significant that, but then again, it goes to the sin of pride and the fact that they're no longer hiding
these things that used to be, that used to be embarrassing to even consider to be part of something like the Satanic Temple or openly, you know, gay or lesbian, transgender, whatever. All of these things that used to be shameful are no longer shameful because they're flaunting the sin, and it's the sin of pride.
It is. It is.
Another one that ties into that that sin of pride and flaunting those sins is, you know, we've got a we've talked about the fact that we've got a lot of acres out of production and a lot of crop damage really all across the world right now, and of course prices are depressed, and I don't really want to go to that. I'm just bringing that in as another piece of this puzzle, but we've got several that have come out this week, including a Swedish university professor, and it's interesting to me that his field is applied behavioral science, which is pretty much psychology. But anyways, he's running around telling everybody how they need to eat other people. You know, cannibalism is the human race may need to rethink it because, you know, it could save the planet from climate change. And, you know, that's another one of those that flies in the face of God. I mean, it's another filthy, evil, wrong thing. And I'm pretty sure if God hates you to eat mice and pig, that eating people's probably, I mean, that's kind of above that, right? But, you know, we've got somebody out there saying that, and that's another, that ties into satanic philosophy, because that's another one of the things they, you know, they want to sacrifice people, they want to eat people, they want to do a lot of just anything that is abhorrent to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. So,
we talked about that before. There's actually restaurants in Asia that have human flesh on their menus. I mean, as difficult as that is to believe, there's places in the world that's becoming a delicacy, you know? So,
it is.
Yeah.
It is rebellion. It is, when it's our people doing it, it's rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. But it is. It's anything goes. And as the days, you know, as these last days continue, then it's like the people are digging for anything and everything that they can to rebel against God. What else can we do? It seems to be their motto. And then, you know, to the others, to those of the East, we're warned. You know, we're warned throughout the Bible to be ye separate. To not worship the gods of the East, to not go the ways, but now those ways have just infiltrated our complete society of, you know, that was once a Christian society here in this country. It has, and the people just it is no different than seeing the Europeans standing there with the banners saying, "We welcome refugees," when they welcomed the Muslims to come in to rape and kill and destroy them, to destroy them and their family and their culture and their posterity, and you know, destroy what they had been for 1,500 years. It is no different when we have that here, when we welcome the Eastern philosophies and the growth of things like yoga and the Muslims that we've welcomed in into every aspect and part of this country. It is bringing in and promoting the influences of the East. Boy, if you ever listen to Richard Hoskins any, you know, he had that down pat, and we've got some of his old newsletters, and he goes over that and lets you know, this Muslim is nothing new. This stuff is nothing new. We've been cleaning up here, and I found a Quran, okay? Don't stone me. But it was, someone had sent it in to Pastor Peters in 2003. And the note on it said, "Pastor Peters, wanted to make sure you had one of these because these people aren't going away." Okay? Now, that was 16 years ago. And praise God, part of the remnant saw that then. And I think more of them see it now. And so it is becoming of biblical proportion. This flooding in North Carolina, talked about that. This one quote from this guy that lives on Ocracoke Island in North Carolina. He said, we thought it was just going to be a normal blow, this Hurricane Dorian, but the damage is severe this time. This is flooding of biblical proportions. And so I think, you know, people here and there are seeing these things. And some news media are putting these things out. You know, little snippets here and there to get people thinking. And thinking that, hey, if this is biblical proportion, maybe we need to go back to that Bible. Maybe we need to go back and see. And there were many times that unnumbered hordes came against Israel, came against God's people, who are the Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people that settled Europe, that pushed the hordes out, that were the great dispersion that James talks of. That had Christianity, that listened to and did to the best of their ability, fulfilled the Great Commission, taking the gospel to all the world and preaching it, and did that, and then settled this nation, this new Jerusalem, this new Zion that is prophesied in the Bible. Of unwalled villages and an eastern sea and a western sea, that is there in the Word if you'll take time to go look for it. And it is those people that God has delivered time and time again. We their posterity, we their descendants, the remnant that there's always been. We've always been delivered when we returned to God, when we prayed to God. And, you know, we are seeing it in the weather. We are seeing it in the politics of this nation, the enemy turning on themselves. These are biblical proportions. These are new biblical stories, you might say, when we see that. When we see the Democrats throwing each other under the bus, and the Republicans as well, for the most part, and that you know, that there's a change. We are seeing a change. Again, John, that word comes up, reprieve. It's a reprieve. It's a yes, we deserve this. We deserve to be wiped off. You know, the verse that God says, shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this, these lusty, well-fed horses that neigh after their neighbor's wife and everything else? We deserve this. But again, His grace, His mercy, His compassion that God has. But it's, you know, we have it today. Tomorrow, who knows? But we have it today. Today it is still day. Today we still work to get the gospel message out. Not to toot our horn on social media, but to converse with people, to show with our with our lifestyle, with our turning away from sin, with our compassion and love with others, in patience and that slightly salted speech, to be able to bring others to Christ, to bring others to the saving grace, saving from our sins and saving from the hands of those that hate us, because there's plenty of both of that out there. But we have to do it while we can. You know, while it's still day, as the Word says.
Yeah, going back to the gun issue, I don't know if you saw that too, but the Mormons changed the rules on guns. Most members, Salt Lake City, AP release, most members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints already knew that they were discouraged from taking their guns to church on Sunday. But the Church is making sure that the message is crystal clear by tweaking the policy to prohibit all lethal weapons. So now the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, have boldly proclaimed that no one is allowed to conceal carry. None of their members are allowed to conceal carry.
So in reality, what they've done is they've just opened up the fact that we are now a gun-free zone.
Zone, yeah.
You terrorists are welcome to come into our churches. And, it's pretty sad. But then again, in a lot of ways, it's the same thing, you know, that in the last days, it's the parable of the wheat and the tares. As you see these demon rats, they're not hiding anything anymore. They're bold and brazen as can be.
That's right.
And prideful.
That's right.
And apparently even the false churches are now becoming bold and brazen and prideful with regards to contradictory teaching to what the Bible says.
Yes.
So
yes, they continue.
Interesting times.
And they join together. They join together. Well, guys, we got one more phone call ringing here. Let's take it real quick. We just got a minute. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee.
Me?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, you know, I've read a lot about this Hurricane Doreen really being manipulated, and I think that they really thought they were going to wipe out a few things, but then they God let them get it started, and then he kind of took over and said, see, I'm still God.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
All I got.
Jesus take the wheel.
That's right. Thank you, ma'am.
Take the wheel. Even
God bless.
Hurricane.
That's right, and that's just what he did. It really is. And if you can't see that, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy for saving those people in Florida when it was, you know, all the forecasts were right there. We're right there. And and I firmly believe that our prayers were heard. That doesn't give us any credit. It gives all the credit to he who hears our prayers, to he who directs the not only the hearts of men, but the weather as well. Well, men, we're out of time. Well, thank you for joining us. We thank you, the remnant, for joining us. And, hey, come to church with us tomorrow. You can come physically. If you do, let us know. But if you can join right from your own home, right where you're at now, at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And join us for a review of the news, for a timeless pulpit truth, prophecies that I'm sure we're seeing come true today. Looking forward to John's live message and communion and some music. And so come and worship with us, and you can do that right there. Well, men, thanks again, and we will see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.